Today we're going to be completing the second Perek of Maseches Peah and Be'ez Hashem beginning the third Perek of Maseches Peah. So we are up to Peah Perek Beis Mishnah Ches. So we're still talking about harvesting fields and when it needs one Peah, when it needs two Peahs. And now we switched the conversation to a discussion of what if one person harvested half the field and then it changed ownership, or it was not a person that harvested the other half of the field. It was an animal, it was a wind, it was something like that. So says the Mishnah, Katsaruha Listim Chetzia V'Katsaruhu Chetzia. A reverse of the previous Mishnah. In this case, the listim harvested half of the field, and then you, the bailim, the actual owner of the field, harvested the second half of the field. So nosin peah mimasha katzar. You give peah from whatever you were able to harvest. Meaning, even though peah is ein lashir, there's no shir midaraisa for peah, we did say that there is a shir midrabanan that we recommend for peah, so you should give that shir, that percentage of 1/60th, from whatever you were able to harvest yourself, but not necessarily from the entirety of the field. Katzar chetzia umachar chetzia. Let's say you harvested half the field and then sold the rest of the grain. Halokeach nosin peah lakol. Then whoever bought it has to give peah for the entire field, even the part that you harvested. And the assumption is, the reason that he has to do that, the Melech HaShlomo explains, ki yoda halokeach shamochal nosin peah lachetzia shekatzar. The lokeach knows that you didn't give peah yet, so clearly it was aldaita dahachi that he bought it, that he knows that he's going to be responsible for giving the peah on the whole thing, or for leaving the peah on the whole thing. Katzar chetzia v'hikdish chetzia. But if you harvested half of the field and then you were makdish the other half, so now it belongs to Hegdish. So Hegdish, what is Hegdish going to do with it? They're obviously going to sell it. It will belong to someone who will be poded from Hegdish. So poded miyad a gizbar who knows him peah lakol. The guy who's poded from the gizbar of Hegdish, he's going to give the peah for everything, for the entire field. So that concludes the second parak of Maseches Peah, and now we begin the third parak of Maseches Peah. So the third parak begins with the Mishnah. It tells us that malbinos hatavua shebein azesim. If you have plots of grain in between olive trees, so you have these patches of grain growing in between rows of olive trees. So beishamai amrim peah mikol achas v'achas. Beishamai, who's always the more machmir opinion, with a few exceptions that we have in Maseches Eduyos, says I'm more machmir over here also. I think you need to leave peah from each patch of grain separately. They're considered to be separate fields. Ubeis Hillel omrim me echad ala kol. Beis Hillel says, no, you can leave peah from one patch of grain and that will cover all of them. They're all considered one field. Umodim, but everybody agrees, shemay rashi shurus muravin shehu nosin peah me echad ala kol. That Beis Shammai would even agree to the Beis Hillel that if the edges of each of the rows were mixed in with each other, the ends of the rows enter into one into the other, then you give one peah for everything. So whereas Bisham and Basil disagree, if there are just rows of grain in between olive trees, where Beishamai is going to say that you have to give a peah separately, and Beisil says you don't, even the Beishamai will agree that if they mix in with each other, that you can give one peah for everything. So it's interesting, the Mefarshim point out over here that we're talking about modim, that Beishamai is modim to the Beisil. So Tos Yomtiv says, you know, it's a little bit unusual because we're not going to pass on the Beishamai anyway. So what difference does it make that there's a case that the Beishamai is modim to the Beisil? Anyway, we're always going to paskin like the Beis Hillel. So he says we find sometimes that we have that in the fifth parak of Shavuos, in the ninth parak, and in the first parak of Maseches Shabbos, that even though the halach is not like the Beis Shammai and there's no nafkamina in their hoda'ah, we still point out when they're moded. He says you even find in the fifth parak of Maseches Trumos in Mishnah Dalit where there's a machlokas Reb Elazar and the Chachamim aliba de Beis Shammai, where there's machlokas between two tanaim what Beis Shammai would hold. That certainly doesn't have a nafkamina, and you find in the second parak of Maseches Ha'alos, in Mishnah Gimel, something similar. So this is what you have all over Shas. You have a lot of times where we have a discussion in Shas, what the Shita of the Beis Shammai is. So even though we try not to focus too much energy on that which we don't pass in La Halacha, because the Ikra Liman HaTorah is the Suki Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa, but that's where Rav Shechter often points out, that when we say Elu Ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, what we mean by that is a number of things, but one of the things that we mean by that is that when you learn the Shita of Beis Shammai, it's not Bittul Torah. That even though we don't paskin like that, lahalacha, it's still considered a Talmud Torah. So when you're learning the Shita of Beis Shammai, it's kedai to learn it. It's still a chelik of Talmud Torah, so we need to know what the Beis Shammai understands. Sometimes it's important to know how the Beis Shammai understands in order to be able to better understand Beis Hillel, and sometimes just stop to have a better understanding of the Torah itself. So we learn the Shita of the Beis Shammai. Rav Shechter points out that sometimes the Veil Divrei Kim Chaim actually does make a difference in halacha, like you have a concept kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismach al b'shas adchak, which means that we don't really pass like Rabbi Shimon, but in the case of shas adchak, that it's kedai lismach alav. That's only because it's Divrei Elokim Chaim, that even the shita that's rejected la halacha is also Divrei Elokim Chaim, and that's why we can be so mechanet sometimes b'shas adchak. But over here you have that the Beis Shammai is moda to the Beis Hillel, and the Mishnah deems it worthy to make mention of that. Now it's interesting also when we discuss what is in between these patches of grain. So the Mishnah says shebein hazesim, that it's in between olive trees. So the Bar Tanura points out it doesn't have to be olive trees, any tree. The only reason it mentions zesim is because zesim are chayiv and peah on their own. So you would think that since they're chayiv in their own peah, they would for sure be mafsik between the patches of grain. So kol shkein other ilanos which are not chayiv, you know, if you just have like landscaping in between that don't grow any fruits, and then so for sure that is not going to be mafsik between the grains that are growing in between them. But even zaysim, where chayiv peah in their own right, it's not going to be mafsik according to Beis Hillel. That's why we highlight zaysim. So that's the Bar Tanura also points out that the Beis Shammai says you give peah mikol echad ve'echad hoel va'omdus harugos piski piski ve'in misarvin zum zu, because he views each aruga as a separate entity, that the zesim are mafsik between them. But he says if when the ilanos are meruchakim zemizeh, if the zesim, the olive trees, are so far from each other ad shebekarka beisa'a shu chamishim ama al chamishim ama ein bo asar ilanos, to the extent that you could have a patch of land that's 50 amos by 50 amos without 10 trees. They're spread out so far from each other they wouldn't have 10 trees in a 50 am by 50 am patch. Then mod and Beis Hillel agree that you give payah separately from each patch, because since the ilanos are so far from each other, it seems that it's not because of the ilanos that they made these malavnos, that they made these patches. And when the ilanos are very tightly packed together and there are 10 trees in less than a Beisa'a, then Beis Shammai is going to be moda that you're nosin peya achas ala kol. The whole machlokas is when there's exactly 10 ilanos in a Beisa'a. So that what the Bar Tanura says further minimizes the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Because you can have a case where the Beis Hillel is moda to the Beis Shammai if the trees are very spread apart. You have a case where the Beis Shammai is moda to the Beis Hillel if the trees are much more clustered together. And the only case of machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is where the trees are in exactly that ratio, that you have 10 trees in a plot of land that's 50 amos by 50 amos. So again, to quickly chazer, the last Mishnah in the second paragraph of Maseches Peah told us that if you were the last one to harvest the second half of the field, even though others who would not be chayiv harvested the first half of the field, you're chayiv in Peah. If you sold the second half of the field, you're chayiv in the Peah of what you cut. If you sold the second half of the field, the guy who bought it is chayiv in Peah of the whole field. If you were makdish the second half of the field, then the guy who's poda from the gizbar is chayv and peah in the entire field. Mishnah Aleph of Perek Gimel taught us that if you have grain growing in between olive trees, we have machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel whether each patch of grain requires its own peah. Beis Hillel is obviously more makel and says only one peah for everything. But Beis Shammai would agree that if the shuros and raven zemzeh, that if the rows mix in with one another, that it's going to be only one payer for all of it. It's all considered a single unit, a single entity. Okay, Bezushem, next time we'll pick up with Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis.